By the help of God, we will commence the afternoon service by reading hymn 643. Hymn 643. Again, dear Lord, we would be fed. We come to seek for living bread and feast on love divine. Dear Father, let thy presence be enjoyed by all thy family and make each face to shine. In thee all blessings richly meet. Come then and give our souls a treat, and let us feast indeed. Oh, let us banquet with the King, and love and pray and praise and sing, as sons from bondage freed. May faith be strong and pierce the skies, and we with pleasure realize the glory now prepared. Commune with Jesus as our friend, upon him live, his love commend, and carnal things discard. If this be granted, we'll adore the hand that gives yet keeps in store, and boundless stocks of grace. In every time of need we'll cry, and thou shalt all our need supply, and that with smiling face. We will read from God's holy word, from Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, and chapter 13. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his holy word and teach us how to pray. Dear Lord, we need thee now to solemnize our minds and our hearts as we bow before thee in prayer. Thou who art that great and holy and eternal Lord God. And O Lord, we do thank thee, thou hast made a way whereby poor, wretched, vile sinners can approach a holy and heart-searching God. Oh, we would come pleading that precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, that name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, we do pray too, Lord, as we venture to the throne of thy grace, that thou wilt wash us in thy precious blood and cleanse us from all our many, many sins. Oh, we would be found at thy dear feet in a humble confession, in humble repentance, begging and pleading for mercy. Oh, we do thank thee for what the dear poet said, that no sinner yet has ever been empty sent back, who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. And oh, as we gather once more to worship thee, we do pray, Lord, for thy sweet presence to be known and to be felt, both in our homes where we each are, and too in our souls. Oh, may thy presence be our star and guide us in this dangerous world. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that we may know much nearness to thee, and that thou wilt draw near to us. May we know a little what those that journeyed to Emmaus knew, when thou didst go near, draw near to them, and go with them. And oh, may we know that sweet communion with them, fellowship with thee in thy sufferings, and have the sweet assurance thou didst suffer, bleed and die for us. Or may we know more and more what the dear hymn writer said, the time of love will come when we shall clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your soul reveals his love with power. Oh, may we know more and more of thy love shed abroad in our hearts, unworthy as we are. And oh, do help us to love thee in return. Who guide us and direct us through the remainder of our journey here below. Pray to be kept, Lord, every moment, and to be leaning upon thee. One of old said, leaning upon all sufficient grace. And, O Lord, do help us to flee to thee for all we need, both in our souls, in our bodies, in our pathways, in our homes, in our families, in all that concerns us. And oh, that we may cast all our cares and burdens upon thee. And may we have that sweet assurance, thou carest for us. We would pray for thy dear people. Commend them into thy blessed hands, Lord. No better hands could they be in than thine. We pray that thou wilt work in each one, and that there may be those, Lord, filled with thy love and goodness and mercy, that they may run in thy delightful way. May there yet be a moving of the waters in our own flock and throughout Zion. Oh, that there may be yet the sound of an abundance of rain. Oh, do come, Lord, and open the windows of heaven. In the midst of the dark and solemn day in which we are now living in, that there may be yet the sound of an abundance of rain. Lord, thou canst do it. The power is thine. And oh, may it please thee to bless the dear children and bless the Sabbath school. And may those truths that have been taught them continually be made a blessing to their young hearts. And it may abide in them and be as bread cast upon the waters and seen after many days. Oh, that there may be those raised up to be useful in Zion in their day and generation, a praying exercise people. Lord, thou canst do it. We pray for faith to believe thou wilt work. And oh, that thou wilt hear the cries of dear parents for their offspring. Help those at school at home at this time. And Lord, we pray for all needed strength and help to the dear parents in all that has come upon them. And oh, that thou wilt favour yet to those of the dear young people, with thy guiding, directing hand in all that concerns them. Help them to look to thee, Lord. For thou alone canst do for them far exceeding abundantly. We can ask or even think. Oh, may it please thee, Lord, to remember those in affliction's pathway. Especially bless thy dear people in the paths of affliction. May they be enabled to be still and to know that thou art God. May these afflictions, Lord, be used in thy hand for the teaching and profit and benefit of thy people, and that they may be established in these things by thy blessed hands, established in grace and in faith and in love. To send that needed healing and restoring if it's thy will. And the many throughout the land and throughout the earth in this coronavirus might be a voice to men. Be ye also with. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Lord, may the solemn matters of eternity be a tremendous sound to us each, and to many as yet that know thee not. May they be brought to know them, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, we do pray, dear Lord, for thee to comfort those that are bereaved. We pray especially for the Crowther family now in their great loss. Thou wilt support, uphold and sustain them and be with them. And Lord, do remember others that are bereaved. And may it please thee to so use the death of one and another to the quickening into life of men. Oh, may it please thee, dear Lord, to watch over and preserve and protect our doctors and nurses, Lord. Oh, we think especially at this time of Sam and Yvonne in their roles in the hospital, and that thou wilt watch over them and keep them. And do keep them safe from it all, if it's thy holy will. And each of us too, Lord. And I'll do sanctify it all too. And may their eyes continually be up unto thee. And others, Lord, that are all involved in these things, I think of many, Lord, in our little denomination that are caring for thy afflicted and that are doctors too. May they be preserved in their going out and coming in, we do pray. Know that thou wilt remember all in trouble, all in distress, Lord, all that need thee. Oh, we pray thou would undertake for each one. And may they see thy hand in all these things. And be able to say from their hearts, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And we would pray for much grace to be given to us each. Grace to be submissive to thy mind and will. Ever keep us from rebelliousness and harm. But oh, may we ever be humbled in the dust and be as nothing. And our precious Jesus, the all and all. Remember our dear age friends, where they each are in their homes and in Bethesda and other homes. Do come and visit them each with thy salvation, if it would please them. May they be favoured to feel that thou art with them. Thy rod and thy staff do comfort them. Prepare us each for the great day of death and a vast eternity. Oh, do assure us each, Lord, that it is well with us. And that thou art our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and that thou hast done all things well, and that it will be well with us in death's awful day, and well in the swellings of Jordan. Who bless us as a flock, and bless Zion too, may there yet be many born again. May there yet be a bringing back of the prodigals, Lord. Nothing is too hard for thee. We beg of thee to work. And oh, that thou wouldst bless thy servants and help them in all their labours. And those that have to be silent from time to time because of the restrictions. We pray that thou wouldst abundantly bless them and give them peace and quietness in their souls. Remember, Lord, us in the nation, what can we say? Thy hand has gone out against us. Do bring our rulers to seek thy face for all needed wisdom and for guidance in all what to do in these terrible situations. And we pray, Lord, for them to seek thy will, and that there may be once again the lockdown with held and things restored, Lord. But may we not be left as a nation to go back to serving man and serving Satan and serving the evil that abound and the idols, but to serve thee, the only true God. Lord, the power's thine. We beg of thee to work. Bless our Queen and the royal family. Remember them each, Lord, and keep them from this virus, if it would please them. And oh, do sanctify it to our Prime Minister and Prince Charles and others that have been brought through. We pray that it may be a voice to them and to men, that there may be those yet that shall call upon thy holy name. Remember thy dear people in persecution, those in oppression, Lord, those in famine, those that are in war-torn lands. We beg of thee to appear. And we would cast all our cares and burdens into thy blessed hands. And do help us, dear Lord, to praise Thee. Oh, that we might have a heart to love and praise Thee more. Give Thee all the glory, all the praise. For truly the benefit is ours. Who anoint us to speak a few things in from Thy holy word. May we be Thy messenger in Thy message. And oh, do clothe our tongue with that live coal from off Thy heavenly altar. May we know a little what Peter did on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit be poured out upon this poor world, and upon all those that hear, and may it be the word of the King of Kings to men. Forgive what we've uttered amiss, our many, many sins. Make up where we so find, so we would fall into Thy kind arms, and sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. We will sing Hymn 837, the tune is 357. Repent, awaken souls, repent. Hear the good tidings God has sent, of sinners saved and sins forgiven, and beggars raised to reign in heaven. Hymn 837, tune 357. by the help of God and seeking your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and verse 42. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You will remember, those of you with us this morning, that we tried to look at the wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost, and how we long for it again today in the midst of this dark and solemn plague upon this land. And then we look at the wonderful way that the Lord had worked through the ministry of the apostle, the Holy Spirit upon him, and the Holy Spirit being poured out upon them that heard the word, that it was made life and power to them, and their souls gladly received it. And we looked then at the doctrines that the apostles so faithfully preached. And we looked at the doctrine of salvation and of the doctrine of righteousness, and how the Lord Jesus is the author and the Holy Spirit and God the Father of these divine doctrines. And through the apostles' ministry, it says here, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And we look to at how steadfast those dear souls were that had ventured to follow their Lord, how they were firm in the vital things of God, how steadfast and resolute they were, and unwavering, not driven about by every wind of doctrine. But then, as helped, we would go further. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, doctrines are the backbone, really, of real religion. We think of the apostle Paul, how so beautifully he set forth in his epistle to the Romans of the doctrines of election, the doctrines of predestination, the doctrine of sanctification, and so on. And these things, you see, are to be experienced by God's dear people. And if we truly love the Lord, we shall want a good foundation to our religion, that religion the Lord is the author of and the finisher of. And then we look to that wonderful doctrine of faith, how the Lord is the author of it and the finisher of it. But you see, the apostles' ministry, both Peter's and Paul and the other divine apostles, the whole substance of their ministry and the subject of that substance was Christ and Him crucified. If ever men exhorted a precious Saviour, they did through their ministry. I remember when I first went into the ministry in 1966, one of the old servants of God said to me, "There are two things you must preach. First of all, the exceeding sinfulness of sin that there is in the sinner's heart. And secondly, the preciousness and suitability and loveliness of the Lord Jesus himself. Christ must be lifted high, sinners laid in the dust." And you see, when you look at it in the case of the Apostle Peter here on that day of Pentecost, how they were brought right down to no hope in themselves, and yet the Lord gave them a blessed hope in the dear Lord Jesus. His ministry was the substance of their religion and was to support them not only on that day but through the days to come, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And through that dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus himself, was to flow some blessed things. There was to flow pardon for poor sinners. And as he shed his precious blood at Calvary, and that precious blood flowed forth, oh, how the poor sinner rejoiced to see that precious blood, because there was their safety. There was pardon for the blackest, vilest of sinners, and there was peace. Oh, we think of what I often quote, that blessed hymn 925, "Peace by his cross as Jesus made." And oh, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. And it all flows through the dear Redeemer. And oh, how the apostles were enabled to so beautifully set it forth, and they could speak it from divine experience, because they'd tasted it, handled it and felt it, and knew the blessed application of those things that they ministered. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And there are many other things we could name, but I want to look particularly at two further things before we go further. The first is this, and fellowship. Now they continued in fellowship with their dear Redeemer. What a wonderful thing it is to have sweet fellowship and communion with a precious Jesus. And how vital that is. You know, the more closer we live to him, the more we shall know sweet fellowship and communion with him. The apostle spoke of having fellowship with him in his sufferings and in his death. And there have been times when one has come into places of suffering in various ways, and so often the Lord has made it a very sweet and sacred occasion, and yet it's been bitter to the flesh to walk in, because he's led me to view just a little of his sufferings and what he endured. And oh, he can have then, we can, sweet fellowship with him. The hymn writer said, "His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine?" And oh, that we may know more and more of that fellowship, those that too that journey to Emmaus, they had such sweet fellowship with him as they communed together in those vital things of God and all that had taken place, and what sweet communion and fellowship they had with him. But then, oh, may we know more and more fellowship with each other. There's much strife and tension and disagreements because man is what he is, poor fallen sinners. As we sung, "When is it Christians all agree? When nothing in themselves they see, and Christ is all in all." A sweet fellowship one with the other. It's not like some of these places where they say, "Oh, we'll stay behind the service and we have fellowship." You know, the old ones used to say, "The sweet fellowship is known often in secret, away from everybody." When the Lord really blesses you, there have been those times where you come out the house of God and you don't want to talk to a soul because you're afraid you'll lose the blessing and fellowship you've had with the dear Redeemer through the service. I remember there was a woman that years ago, one of our chapels, Mr. Popham, went there to preach, and he preached so beautifully a precious Jesus. And this lady, she came to Mr. Popham afterwards and said what a wonderful hearing time she'd had. But he said to her, he said, "You know, some of my best hearers are home. They've gone home because they didn't want to lose anything which the Lord has given them." It's right to tell the servants of God, 'tis true, don't misunderstand me. But, oh, how often it's like we sung or read, "And take thee to our homes." And what a mercy it is when we can go home and meditate upon the fellowship we've had with a precious Jesus, but oh, to have that fellowship one with another. I often think of those in the Word of God, if I may just name them, that had sweet fellowship together. Well, think of the Apostle Paul and Timothy. There's that great age difference in their age. Timothy was young and the Apostle more advanced in years, and oh, the fellowship they had one with the other. And then you think of Ruth and Naomi, the sweet fellowship there was between them, communing one with the other. And then you can think of dear David and Jonathan, the love they had to each other, the fellowship they had. And oh, there are those times, aren't there, when there's a sweet flowing together. I love that word in Jeremiah 31 where it says, "They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord." And may we know it much as a flock, flowing, love flowing from heart to heart, and love to the Lord, love to his people, love to his ways. And may that be our favoured lot if we are spared to gather together once more after all these restrictions are lifted. There might be that real flowing together. And how will it be? For the goodness of the Lord, for his honour, for his glory, for his praise. So these dear souls, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Don't forget that. It's easy to remember the first part, the doctrine, but oh, the fellowship. Sweet communion with the Lord and communion with his dear people. I often look back and I think of it many times. My late dear grandfather, in his latter days, was a wonderful character. The Lord had wonderfully blessed him, and he blessed this poor sinner. And you know, we used to go and sit together and flow together in the things of God. It was a wonderful time of real blessing, both in our souls, and I was constrained to follow the Lord, and he was too, and I was only 18 and he was 82, but we were one in the things of God. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. But I do want to look a little at this continuing before I go to the breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, it is a wonderful thing, vital thing. I'll press that point home for my own soul and to each of us. It's one of the most vital things in real religion, the continuing. As I indicated this morning, there were those solemnly that didn't continue. But we think of two words, and I would just lovingly set them before you, that the Saviour himself spoke. The first was this. He said to his dear disciples of the pathway that they would have to walk while here below. And it was this, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. What a path to have to walk. Think of it. Well, really, you know, that was the path the Saviour trod. He knew what it was to be hated. He knew what it was to be despised and rejected of men. But the dear Saviour didn't leave it there, did he? But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Now they were to have to endure hatred. They would have to endure reproach. They would have to endure affliction. And some of us know what it is to walk those things. And but how shall we continue? You may be in a difficult pathway at this time because of this plague upon the nation. And you look at things, maybe in providence in your pathway, or the afflictions you may be walking through, or the trials, the difficulties. But Lord, how shall we continue? Well, you cannot yourself, can you? These dear souls could not continue themselves steadfastly. But by the wonderful help of God, they were to continue. We think of those dear disciples. The second word I was going to quote to you is this. Just before the Saviour went to Calvary, he said this to his dear disciples. Ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations. You know, often think of that word. Those 11, Judas excluded because he never continued. But those 11, they continued with him. In spite of all that they had to walk through, the great sufferings, the things they had to give up, the many things they had to endure, and yet they continued with him. And it may be there are those of you today, where the Lord has given me this word, How can we continue? How are things going to work out for us? What is the Lord's will in it all? Well, may we be like these on the day of Pentecost, and they continued steadfastly. They were steadfast in their continuing. But you will say, well, how can I continue? There's those that have got heavy burdens. How can we carry them? Well, there's a beautiful word that keeps flowing into one's heart in the Psalms. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain them. He shall sustain them. And you know, when the Lord sees fit that you've got to carry heavy burdens, heavy afflictions, heavy trials, maybe in providence, in the pathway, in the famine, how can we continue? Lord, we can't go on. But the Lord will give you sustaining grace. You think of the dear apostle. How could he continue with that thorn in the flesh? The messenger of Satan to buffet him. Was it not with that precious word, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And as the Lord gave him that grace, he could continue, and so were you, poor soul. But only as he gives you that grace. But then we think of the dear apostle Paul, when he went before, was brought before King Agrippa and those nobles, and he gave there his testimony how the Lord worked in him on that Damascus road. And that, what did he say amidst all those other blessed things? This beautiful word, and what a help it's been to many a poor sinner to enable them to continue. And it's this: by the help of God, I continue unto this day. And you know, with that help from heaven, you can press on, can't you? You can continue. Think of those precious words of the hymn writer. If thou press on, the crowds will fly. Oh, that we may be given that continuing grace, that continuing help, that continuing upholding hand of the Lord, holding us up and holding us on. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. But then we think too of one other blessed thing the Lord will give you to enable you to continue. And it's been a great help to me over the years. And that is, think of dear Moses, leading a people that were rebellious, that were stiff-necked, that were turning off into idols, turning away from the God that they professed to love. How could he lead them? Well, the Apostle Paul, beautifully in Hebrews 11, summed it up, didn't he? By faith Moses endured, continued, as seeing him who is invisible. The words of the dear hymn writer are very sweet words. Always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. You know, they're precious words. They were applied to this poor sinner when I took the pastorate at Ashwell, and I preached the first month, and I found I'd preached myself dry. I was finished. I said, Lord, I can't continue. And the Lord, you know, dropped those beautiful words into my heart, and I've never forgot it. And they carried me right through the 25 years I was there. always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through. And you think in your heart and your pathway and the family, may we be given that faith to keep him in view, that eye of faith ever to keep Christ in view. You see, the hymn writer's words are very comprehensive, really, aren't they? Always, not some of the time. The trouble is, we're like Peter when he was bidden to walk on the sea. What happened? He looked at the waves. You look at the waves, don't you? You look at your waves of providence. You look at the waves of affliction. You look at the waves of opposition from Satan and from man. All the things that may distress you today. How can we continue? Always keeping Christ in view. And he will bring you safely through. May the Lord enable us in all this plague to keep him in view, and he will bring us safely through. And then you'll be able to praise him, won't you, and bless his holy name, that he's given you that grace and help and strength. You see, another thing you'll need is strength to continue. And oh, may the Lord give us that strength of body, of mind, and of soul to continue. But then, has helped just briefly to look at the remainder of the text. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. In breaking of bread. Of course, this was referring particularly to the Lord's Supper. Breaking of bread. He says, this do as oft as ye do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. And you think of the breaking of the bread. Of course, we're not able to do it, as it's the first Sunday now. And many of us are sad we can't sit at the Lord's table, but the Lord knows. But may we be led to view a little by faith of his broken body, that as we break the bread to consider how his dear heart was broken to when he bore the curse for you. And they got to continue in this. Now, if we are spared, of course, and the restrictions are lifted, may we be enabled to continue in this. It's a place, you know, to remember the dear Saviour. Remember what great cost of our salvation. Remember how he shed that precious blood. So they were to continue in this. They weren't to forsake it. They were to continue to sit at the table, the Lord's table, with their Lord. You know, I often feel that, oh, that we might sit at table with our Lord and eat celestial food. And it can be a very sacred and blessed, sacred spot to a poor, needy sinner. Sitting at the table with their dear Redeemer. You think of those dear disciples, what a blessed, sacred time. It was a solemn, searching time just prior to him going up to Calvary. I remember taking the Lord's Supper at Ashwell on one occasion, and when I read those precious words where he says, "This is my body, which is given for you." And you know, as I read that for you, it just broke my heart. To think of the dear Saviour giving his precious body for such a wretch as I. This do in remembrance of me. And oh, may we remember the Lord in all we say and all we do. And remember that precious blood that he shed at Calvary for poor wretched sinners. But they were to continue in this, in breaking bread. But there's another aspect to it, and that is going to the Lord's house and the servants of God preaching the word and the breaking of the bread, breaking of it up. The word, Jesus said he was the bread of life. The word, you see, is living bread to sinners. I think about that hymn we commenced with this afternoon, and what precious words they are, aren't they? Where the dear hymn writer sweetly said, "Again, dear Lord, we would be fed. We come to seek for living bread and feast on love divine." And oh, as we go up, may we go up continually. Not just when we think we will, but continually. Lord's Day, in the week. I remember when I was so exercised about joining the church in 1963. You know, there were times, some weeks, I went to the house of God every day of the week, longing for a further token, longing for a further visit from the Lord, longing to hear his voice. It was continual. And we find here, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. And oh, may the word be living bread to living souls. And as it is broken, you know, as preached to poor sinners, it's like bread broken up. And the sinner naturally feeds upon the bread naturally. But oh, how we feed upon it spiritually. But what a mercy it is. We have this bread to be broken. But then just briefly, and in prayers. There they were to continue in this. And as we venture forward from this service and this day, knowing not how soon we may be able to gather in God's house, but oh, that we may continue in prayer. The Lord will have his dear people on their knees. When the old servants of God used to say, it's the safest place a poor sinner can be, on their knees before the God of heaven. And poor fainting sinners need the throne of grace. And the throne of grace is open for such characters. And in prayer. Now they continued in prayer. They didn't give up going to the Lord, taking their burdens, taking their cares, taking their concerns in their souls, taking their exercises, everything to him. I know the hymn's not in our book, but it says, doesn't it, taking everything to God in prayer. The Apostle Paul, in his letters to the churches, so exhorted them to pray without ceasing. They've got to be continually in prayer. to the Colossians, he said to them, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And we find it so many occasions through his letters to the churches, exhorting them to prayer. Prayer is a weapon for the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. And oh, that we may be much in prayer from this hour onwards, giving the Lord no rest. I will not let thee go until a blessing thou bestow. Whatever you may be in today, may these precious words of our text be of gracious help to each of us. And they, may it be said, this was what greatly concerned me, that concerning us each, it may be said, like it was of these 3,000 that were added, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And down further we read, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. May the Lord sweetly fulfil these precious things and his precious word in each of our hearts and experience. And may we give him all the glory, all the praise. Well, I'll leave these few rambling remarks for your prayerful meditation. Amen. We will conclude by reading hymn 428. Humble souls who seek salvation through the Lamb's redeeming blood, hear the voice of revelation, tread the path that Jesus trod. Flee to him, your only Saviour, in his mighty name confide. In the whole of your behaviour, own him as your sovereign guide. Hear the blessed Redeemer call you, listen to his gracious voice. Dread no ills that can befall you, while you make his ways your choice. Jesus says, let each believer be baptized in my name. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the stream. Plainly hear his footsteps tracing, follow him without delay, gladly his command embracing, lo, your captain leads the way. View the right with understanding, Jesus' grave before you lies, be interred at his command. After his example, rise. Dear Lord, do forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this time. Do bless thy word. May it abide in our hearts, and may we be given that grace to continue unto the end. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.